microphones and make a podcast. Two microphones and you make a podcast.
Hi, this is Joyce.
And this is Mary Beth.
Welcome to the Modern Yoga Podcast. Nice to see you, Mary Beth.
That didn't sound that energetic. That was
Do you want me to do it again?
Welcome to the Modern Yoga Podcast.
It was podcasting voice.
It was a sweaty balls moment.
I feel like I haven't seen you or talked to you really in a long time, although you did sub the other day and got to talk to you for a moment.
Those are fleeting moments though. We don't get much FaceTime. Remember FaceTime used to be FaceTime instead of quote FaceTime
and digital time. Yeah. In person time. We're not even in person now.
Yeah. No. Now we're actually almost FaceTiming.
We're next to each other on a screen. How have you been?
Good.
How do you like this? I'm
not surly and have no complaints right now. Why? Because it's 60 in Cleveland the last 2 days and sunny.
That was my next question. How are you enjoying this February spring weather?
I actually went for two walks yesterday.
So I'm already heading to the read.
Oh, did you just hear my phone speak?
Yeah.
That was my mom texting me and when I pressed it, my phone read it. She too just said she saw a birdie heading to the wreath. So at Thanksgiving time, I put a pine wreath. Heinen's always has these beautiful greenery wreaths, and I hang it between our back doors. My mom and I live next door to each other in a side-by-side. And if I don't, it stays beautiful. And if I don't remove it by spring, which technically it's not spring yet, but I understand why nature is confused here, birds start either picking at it for their nests or several years they make a nest in it, which is beautiful and wonderful to watch, but also involves all kinds of stress because listen, all the birdies don't always make it, all the eggs don't make it, and it's a very emotional thing. So that's probably why I told you before we started recording that I see some crazy birds outside my upstairs window, and now my mom saw them downstairs heading for the wreath.
Nature, so you're gonna have that wreath for a while then.
Right. Because then we don't move it. But anywho, speaking of that spring weather that has the birds confused, since book club was last night and it involved a local author who referenced a nature center in Sharon Center, Ohio, we thought it would be fun to, since the weather permitted, take a little walk or hike there. So a handful of us did that. Honestly, the rest of them probably would have done it even if the weather didn't permit, but I'm a fair weather walker.
Oh, I'm not. I walk all the freaking time.
I walk in the mountains for some reason, even if it's cold. But at home, if it's below 60, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Even if you're dog sitting?
No, if I'm dog sitting, of course I walk.
Yeah.
That's what it takes is a doggie. And then I got home later, ran a couple errands, got home. It was like not yet 3 o'clock maybe. And I'm like, I'm going for another walk because who knows how long we'll be able to walk.
Look at Chloe.
Hi, Chloe. She's got her head between the blinds there, under the blinds, looking under out.
The window's open a little bit. Yesterday, was it yesterday or Wednesday when James came home? It's Friday today for the international podcast audience.
But it won't be Friday when you hear this, so you'll be very confused.
Who knows? Like, we haven't put a podcast out in a while. We might just turn this one right around. But I had some windows open. He's like, Joyce, it's not spring. I'm like, it's going to be 60. And so obviously at night we close them, but like, it just felt so good yesterday to have fresh air.
We've had all the windows open here too. And even overnight sleeping, because then it's like cold air, warm blanket. Well,
I do that all the time. that's my jam. But I, for some reason, woke up in the middle of the night last night and was, I don't know, but panicked about giving my dogs a bath. Like, it was just... It was like, you need to give your dogs a bath. The universe was like, you need to give your dogs a bath, like ASAP. Hmm. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, I got to do this. So The reason I'm telling you is I don't know. You probably can't tell, but she's extra fluffy because she's still drying. So Mary Beth can see Chloe behind me. And she's
she was standing a moment ago. Yeah, her tail is fluffier and I can see her back. Do they still try and run around after a bath afterwards, to try to get dry?
No, but neither one of them love it. What's funny is Colt really likes to be pampered. He likes the warm water. He likes being touched, but he doesn't necessarily like the idea, the whole grand idea of a bath, you know. He doesn't, you know, and they're not patient. So, but he was pretty good. But she was a little, she loves to swim. She'll swim in a puddle. You know, she loves to go in anything that's wet except the bathtub. So, but I got it done pretty quickly and she just has so much fur and I don't care how much you brush them. When you give them a bath, like it just all kind of loosens up. And so she's going to be walking around like a little cloud of black fur for a while.
Fluffy. And you know, it is a good time to mention it is skunk mating season.
Oh, did not know that.
And have you ever had a dog sprayed directly by a skunk? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, like, do what you can, which what they say you can do is to be a little noisy, right? When you, if you're a person who lets your dog out in the yard, if you're taking them out for a walk, sort of like with stingrays at the beach, I think, or jellyfish or whatever you're supposed to do, the man of war shuffle. Like, I think you're supposed to just try and warn them with noise and movement, and then they will go away rather than surprise them. So skunks will be around. As you know, that scent, for one thing, if a dog gets it in the face, oh, the poor thing, the eyes are running and everything. But that scent can linger in your home for so many months. It'll be months later and you'll just feel like you can feel it wafting in the air.
I had my my first German Shepherd Samson the night before I was going to Florida for a family girls trip. He got sprayed. I was like, really, dude? So like, you know, I had some skunk stuff. I didn't do the tomato paste whatever thing. Yeah. I think we've advanced from there.
Back in the day, it was like tomato juice, vinegar.
But like you, I don't care how good, what kind of product you have is, how good it is. You can't get rid of that completely. So here I am getting on a plane in the morning. You know, I know that my hands
smelling like a skunk.
Yeah, it's great.
And who was dog sitting for you? Or did
I think a friend of our family's, like a kid who I mentioned him before. He grew up the street from us. He was like my adopted brother. His name was Mike Johnson. We always call him Mike Johnson. It's never Mike or...
Right. Mike Johnson. You know, Mike Johnson probably appreciated that particular dog sitting opportunity.
Yeah. Well, I think he was just stopping by to let him out and take care of him. But yeah. But I don't think either of these my dogs now have, I don't know that I've dealt with a skunk spray in a while, but they definitely know when they're outside. You know, because they'll want to go out and then they'll like sprint outside and then
like
you can
there.
Smell the skunk, you know, because it probably gets startled and sprays immediately anyhow, whether it gets to the dog or not. And then I'm like, no, get back in. Don't mess with the skunk, you know.
Yeah.
But Chloe has like it was interesting for me to watch her behind me. You know, I've had some days where I'm like, is her time now? And it sucks because it just sucks. And, you know, she had a hard time getting up the steps one night, which she does. I help her up the steps. But one night we didn't realize it. She was like stuck on the steps.
Aww.
And she was kind of splayed out. I might've mentioned this before, but I mean, she wasn't in pain because, you know, the steps aren't that steep. It's not like she was hanging from a cliff.
She like was just waiting there though.
Yeah. And the next day Ashley was like, Joyce, that's not Chloe. Like, you know? And then I was like, oh, when you're so close to it, it's so hard to like
it is
make those decisions. And so I know she doesn't hear well and she's not seeing well, but the other day I was making chicken. I just throw some in the air fryer for them because that seems to be something that if I put her medicine in there, she'll just eat it. And it's, you know, and honestly, I got this huge bag of like fajita chicken for like $15 or something from Costco, which is probably more.
I knew the word Costco was coming.
Well, it's probably less expensive and better for the dogs than like canned dog food and
tuna. We have so many conversations in life that end up involving Costco. It's just
right
for all of us. Yeah, it's
so. So anyhow, I mean, anytime Colt hears anything going on regarding the potential of him getting food, he's right there. And she's not. She never really was. But I put it in her bowl and he was eating away. And so I picked her bowl up and took it and put it under her nose, hoping she'd smell the chicken and want to, like, you know, come and eat. Yeah. And she didn't even react. I'm like, okay, she can't see. Why? She can't hear. She can't smell now. Like, but then a few minutes later, she got up and devoured it. That's the other thing. She's been eating a lot and Chloe doesn't necessarily eat a lot. She's never been food motivated. And and then there's times, you know, where she'll just look at you like, I need 500 treats. So so anyhow, then was it last week? I was stressing out and thinking like, gosh, we're gonna have to make a decision really soon. And I dropped her leash because she was smelling something, and Colt has arthritis, so if he's moving, you got to keep him moving. And I'm not worried about her running off because, one, she's 13 and a half and I know her very well.
We could catch her.
But two, all she cares about is being ahead of Colt, even if it's by an inch. So anytime I do that, she just will run, you know, when she realizes or when she's done smelling, she runs right back to me. And I never do it like super far away, right? So all of a sudden she goes running like a cheetah. And I'm like, what?
Oh my goodness.
Wait, what?
Wait, like a cheetah, Joyce?
Yes, she was sprinting.
Is that an exaggeration at all?
It's a little bit of an exaggeration. But like, she jumped up on the bed that night without struggling, like just a pure or a, you know, right up with no, usually these days she has to like kind of climb up. Yeah. And then she'll have these great days and then she has some not so great days. So,
like old people, good days and bad days.
Yeah. And I like, we walk every day and she gets the same medication every day. It's kind of like you want to control it to a degree. So there's some consistency in how she slows down. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's just not nature.
And so hard with a pet because you can't, I mean, you can chart.
Right.
You can put on a calendar her good days and bad days, but she can't really communicate like we could. Like, this medication makes me feel this way. This kind of weather, I wake up feeling better or worse. So
right.
It's a lot.
Well, and what's funny these days is I hurt my back the other day, and I'm hobbling around. So I have like an arthritic dog, a congestive heart failure dog, and me just kind of
the hobbit
shuffling down the street. We're not doing any park walks right now because I can't. I just can't.
You need to be on.
Well, cart. I have to help both of them get into the car. On the way back for sure. And he's heavy. Like, I just have to lift his back end up. But like, just the whole bending down and lifting up isn't the best thing for me to do right now. And same thing with her. Like, she can get her front paws in, but I always have to help her. And I can't. I think I pulled my QL muscle. And I thought for a minute it was like a slip disc, but I'm pretty sure it's just muscular. And
the quadratus.
Yeah. Quadratus.
Lumborum.
Waterfalls and like inverted soup does and supported bridge feel so incredible right now. Like, it makes such a huge difference. The heat in the studio feels really good. And I'm in a little bit of pain, but I'm just really freaking frustrated because I hate being like this. And I mean, everybody does, but like, it's just, I forget, you know, like I'll get up and forget that it hurts to get up.
It's so many different parts of your daily.
Yes.
Just things you don't think about. Not the things you would think, in fact. Just stupid little movement.
Right. And like, I have to, when I get in my car, I have to face away from the car so that it's just my butt dropping and then I swing my legs in.
Oh, do you have a Ring camera or something that we can watch this on? Because that's probably hilarious.
No, but I can text you when I'm taking the dogs for a walk so you can watch the three of us hobble down the road.
Hobble, hobble, hobble. Toby Keith is gone.
Yeah, I didn't even know. Well, I'm not a huge country music fan, but I didn't even really know he was sick. Did you?
I did. I love, there was a period of time when I was really into Toby Keith. He's a prolific songwriter and a big, fun fella. Like a lot of artists, I like more of his earlier stuff than what happened later. But I really, really liked him. There's some of his songs that just are very important to me. And I did know he was sick, and he had been back out again this last couple of months, and he looked really bad. It was really sad and frightening. And I kept thinking, I have known other people treated for cancer who looked like death and then rebounded. So I'm hoping that's what it is. But I do think he was just trying to get back out there and say, I know I'm going. I'm going to do these last few things again to say I got back to me. And then, and of course, I'm all into the drama. So back in the day after 9/11, he had a very popular song called Angry American and sort of started the typical American, we have feuds, right? Republican and Democrat, different camps. So there was sort of a feud with the Chicks, who were then called the Dixie Chicks. So Natalie Maines, of course, got famous and got canceled for saying she was embarrassed that President Bush was from the state of Texas. And then Toby Keith, after 9/11, got the he got in trouble. He didn't get canceled, but the fight was that she called his song ignorant because it was like, there's a boot, we're going to put a boot in your ass. It's the American way, in retaliation. And there was a little bit of a feud there. He, at a concert, put Natalie Maines' image next to Saddam Hussein, which was really shitty. Natalie Maines responded by wearing a t-shirt at, I don't know if it was the Grammys or Country Music Awards, that said FUTK, which, you know, FU, Toby Keith. And then at some point, Toby Keith had a band member whose child died of cancer. And so he came out and said, how stupid is this frickin' feud that we're doing? Like, this is not what it's important in life, right?
Right.
So I'm not saying they made up or anything. But back to my drama, I'm looking through Instagram and whatever, and the Chicks don't do a lot on social media, but all these other artists, country and otherwise, are coming out to say, you know, when somebody dies, they say, oh, sorry, Toby Keith, we'll miss ya. We did this together, great guy. The Chicks have said nothing, which is disappointing to me, because my great insight is that Natalie Maines and Toby Keith are just a lot alike.
Mm-hmm.
They both absolutely stood up for what they believed in at whatever cost to their career. And I've used Natalie Maines as an example of how we, because I love her music too. I love her voice. I love the musicality of those two other girls. And I've seen Toby Keith and the Dixie Chicks both multiple times in concert. Sorry, the Chicks. Natalie Maines is my example of how you have Alina and Ashley, we tell our little girls to take no crap from anybody, to stand up for yourself. You can be whatever you want. And then when they do that, we cancel them.
Right.
Right. Like, you tell your little girls to be strong and be what they are, but think of all the strongest women. They're called difficult. For God's sake, they're even attacking poor, innocent, sweet Taylor Swift, who runs the world right now.
Right.
But anyway, I am very sad about Toby Keith. He did a song years ago with Willie Nelson called Whiskey for My Men, Beer for My Horses. And I was walking with the ladies yesterday and I thought, you know what? I bet when they recorded that song, Toby Keith is almost 30 years younger than Willie Nelson. I bet they were thinking, you know, Toby was thinking, how fun will this be someday when Willie's gone? Well, guess what? Willie Nelson is still here at 90, and Toby Keith is gone at 62.
Wow. That's really sad. Yeah. At least, and there's never an at least, but I guess there has to be some kind of peace that you find in knowing that he knew he was dying and he could,
yeah,
like.
And he had always talked about being a person of faith. There's a song that was in the Clint Eastwood movie, The Mule, called Don't Let the Old Man In, that Toby wrote and performed recently. So it became popular again recently, but it's actually not very new. And he got that because he was asking Clint Eastwood, my gosh, how are you still in the game, you know, in your 80s and whatever? And Clint Eastwood said, yeah, I just try and don't let the old man in. And so Toby wrote a song about it, which is tender and sweet and sad, especially as we age.
Right. Well, there's the guy on TikTok I follow. He's under the TikTok handle of
Breaker 19, Breaker 19.
Something like My Pharmacist Phil, or Phil the Pharmacist, or anyhow, he's really interesting. He's funny. Phil's My Pharmacist. That's what he goes by. He talks about these like hacks, or they're not really hacks. It's science, but he's like spending, you know, a lot of money on under eye cream. Try this. And mm-hmm. so like, this is something I tried. I just got the stuff the other day. It's a nasal spray. And
because it's supposed to shrink tissues, right?
Uh-huh. And
like Preparation H for the Miss America pageant.
Yeah. Well, he said that that's the same thing that's in Preparation H, but what else? It's Arnica, which is kind of like, comes in things like Chinadel-ish. Like it's for muscle soreness. And mm-hmm. he's like, just take a dab of each, rub it together, put them on your under eyes, and then wait for it to dry. And then there's this other serum, which like this, all of this cost me $12. And I did it
versus
for the first
like $95 under eye cream.
Yeah. So I did it for the first time yesterday, and I cannot even like it. It's making a difference. Like it's crazy.
Wow. So what nasal spray? I'm gonna have to look this guy up. I'll send you the link,
but,
And you said a little dab. Are you old enough to remember what commercial?
No.
A little dab will do ya? Podcast audience, a little dab will do ya? I do believe that was Brill Cream.
Oh.
For men with unruly hair, like my dad. Brill Cream, a little dab will do ya?
I remember that saying. I don't remember the actual tune.
That may not even be the
thank
tune.
You for pulling it all together. But anyhow,
you're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Talking about age, and he's like, hey, listen, nobody is worried about getting older. No one wants to feel old. He said something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it is. Like, it's not
the number.
The number, it's the like the ability to do all the things.
Mm-hmm.
Or just live, not all the things, mm-hmm. you know, but just like do the things that you like to
most do. Most of the things, yeah, without dependent feelings.
Without pain, without, yeah. But.
Well, I'm going to have to follow him.
Yeah.
Speaking of pain, like this is, I don't know when this will come out, but this weekend is Super Bowl, which brings all of that fun advertising. Speaking of Brill Cream, if that even still exists. And I saw yesterday Jeremy Renner is going to be in a commercial, and maybe it's out already, with his daughter for, I want to say it's for Silk soy milk that he likes. But I read a great article about him yesterday. So he's, of course, the one that I think literally died but was brought back, but certainly almost didn't survive a year ago last month when his giant, like industrial-sized snowplow rolled over.
Yeah.
Remember that? The actor, mm-hmm. Jeremy Renner. And it was actually such a great interview because he talked about, you know, it was his nephew that was with him and his head was split open like a melon. His eye socket has been recreated. All of his organs were smashed. His leg was backwards. Like, and he was talking about his motivation to live, to survive and recover, so that his nephew and also his daughter, he had a young daughter, weren't left traumatized by that scene that day, but instead I snapped and shared a quote from it, because this is the other thing he said. By the way, no one ever told me I was going to get better. Not one doctor early on said, you're going to pull through. You're going to be able to see again. You're going to be able to walk again. And you're going to be able to breathe right. And you're going to be able to talk. No one gave me anything.
Wow.
I feel like if they didn't tell me, it must have been pretty bleak. So, two things. How sad that nobody gave him that hope, and that he had to find these other things to motivate himself. But also, maybe it was pretty good that nobody said much to him. He said that he felt like they were talking to his family all the time, but nobody was dealing with him. So it maybe let him create his own possibilities.
That's like such a weird thing, right? Because some people need to hear like, you're going to be okay. And it could be the same person, right? There's probably times in your life where you're super motivated to do something to prove everyone else wrong. And then there were times in your life where you needed to hear like, hey, you're going to be okay. And I'm going to be right here with you. You know, like, you're going to make it through this. And there were times in your life when if somebody would say like, you're going to make it through this, you'd be like, F you. No, I'm not. You know, like, there's just so many ways that you can sort of process that. And it's pretty amazing that he made the recovery that he did.
Yeah, he's really like, I mean, he'll be the first one to tell you, a year is not a lot when you're talking about those kind of
right.
massive injuries, massive. I mean, he was rolled over by a, I don't know how many ton thing and ripped apart. And he's up and talking and walking and
living.
You know, he was an action movie actor. So he's hoping to get back to doing some of that, but it's unbelievable the amount of recovery that he's achieved. And he wasn't really that much on my radar, but I've loved watching this because there's really no reason he should be on 2 feet for sure.
So back to your thoughts on telling, you know, women that they should be strong and creative and expressive and not take any shit and things like that. I want to tell you about a recent experience I had.
I hope you didn't take any shit, Joyce.
Well, we're going on this retreat to Costa Rica, and, you know, we signed a contract with the place that we're going because, you know, we have to pay for it, right? And so there's like certain days, you know, it's like we have to have this much money down and then we make payments throughout. And I had a payment due like the following week. And so the day I took Alina to see Disney on Ice, I stopped at the bank, which is very close to where I was picking Alina up from daycare, at 9 a.m. And the Disney and I started at 10:30. So the bank opened at 9 and I was like, this shouldn't take long. I did it at another branch of this bank back in November, and it took, I don't know, 10 minutes, but not every teller can do this, right? It's an international wire transfer. So
that sounds exotic.
It does, doesn't it?
Wire transfer.
There was one other person like in the line or getting helped by a teller in the bank, but the lobby was pretty clear. One bank guy had other guys, customers clearly in his office. I told a teller I needed to do the international wire transfer, and I was told to have a seat because like they had to get the person to do it. So I sat down and waited probably 15 to 20 minutes.
Oh, geez.
And then the lady who came to help me said, oh, sorry to make you wait. Hold on one more minute. And she went into the office with the with the guy with the male clients to say hi. And ended up chatting with them for a while. And then she came out and said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. You know, so now I've been sitting around for like 25 minutes, better part of a half an hour. So we go in her office and she's like, oh, you know, what's this for? Like, she was trying to be friendly, but it was so not authentic. She was like, how long have you been doing yoga? And I was like, I don't know, about 15 years. And she goes, oh, how fun. Like, I don't really know what this has to do with like my business or my retreat, other than like, it's a yoga thing, but like, what do you,
right.
And she's like, oh, a friend of mine.
You feel patted on the head? Like, oh, how fun, yeah. You little yoga girl.
Yeah. And then a friend of mine teaches at that place in the mall. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And I asked what her name was, you know, because the yoga community is not ridiculously huge. See how Chloe keeps, she's not comfortable. She keeps walking around back there. So anyhow, didn't know who this person was, but I was just trying to like, I was already getting irritated, but also trying to like find some common ground without really pushing it. But I will say when she did get me and she was like, oh, I'm so sorry for making you wait. Like I just looked her right in the eye and followed her. I didn't say it's okay or whatever. I was very quiet. So I knew that like not saying, it was already uncomfortable, put it that way. So, you know, I said, I did the first transfer at another branch. So it might just pop up, you know, I don't know, like all the information, cause there's lots of numbers. And so I showed her all the information that she needed and she typed it out and whatever. And then she printed out a page like I got the first time and said, you know, here it is. And does that look good? Like very casually. And I was like, yeah. And it was the right amount. It was the right, just, she took all the info I gave her and plugged it in. Right. And she did say that most of it popped up. And so that was the Friday before MLK day. So when it was done, she said, this might process today because the International Wire Transfer Office, whatever, closes at 4:30. And I go, but it probably won't get there till Tuesday, right? At minimum. And she goes, she kind of looked at me and I was like, because it's a holiday on Monday. And she goes, oh, that's right. Yeah, probably. But sometimes it takes a little bit longer with international things. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And then she goes, I hope Monday's a money-making day for you. Yeah.
As in shake your moneymaker on MLK day?
It was, and I go, I was putting my coat on and I just turned. I'm like, what? She goes, well, a lot of people have the day off. Maybe they'll come and do yoga. I'm like, okay, thanks. And I left and I went on with my day. And so the next week comes around. Tuesdays are ridiculously busy for me. Mondays and Tuesdays actually. And then, so it's really Wednesday that I get to spend some time at my computer and the transfer hadn't gone through yet. But on Thursday, like nothing was coming up. And so I called the branch and of course didn't get her. And somebody was like, put me on hold. And I think this phone call took like 17 minutes, put me on hold, came back and said, you must have given us the wrong information. The transfer didn't go through.
And I first of all, you must have given the wrong information. And second of all, were you going to tell me at any point?
Right. And I said, well, what was the problem? And this woman on the phone was like, I don't know. And I was looking at the printout that the lady gave me and I'm like, can I talk to this person? Her name and email address was on there. It got put on hold again and was told, no, she's busy. So right. So I emailed and was like, you know, what was the problem?
Don't make me come down there.
And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. One of the transfer numbers was wrong. Okay, which one? Because there's like five numbers. And she never got back to me. They told me on the phone, like, you're going to have to come back in. well, this was Thursday. I don't go to any studio on Thursday. I didn't want to go back out to Strongsville. So I went to the branch that I had originally gone to in Broadview Heights. Didn't get the same person, but, and I didn't complain about the other experience, but mm-hmm. I did say that I tried to do this and it didn't go through. And so this guy, just in the course of doing this transaction, explained everything to me. He was like, listen, the wire transfer closes at 4:30. So this will get out, or the office or whatever it is, this will get out more than likely today. And then he showed him the printouts that I had, and he goes, oh, there was one zero missing. So instead of four zeros, and he goes, and he laid things out next to each other. He goes, this is the stuff that comes up that auto populates, and this is what I have to put in. He's like, please double check what I have to put in, because that's where the error would be made if there's any error. And I said, oh, okay. And so sure enough, like what he put in was correct. And then it was just that one zero that was off. I couldn't find any other issues. And then,
so in all likelihood, it was her input error.
Right. Which is like easy error to make.
Sure.
Right.
Happens, yeah.
Well, I also told her, like, now my payment is late and I could.
Well, that was my next question. Like, aren't they expecting a payment from you?
Yes. And this could be canceled because of the contract that I signed. And she had offered to write a letter.
I'm sure that would have been quick.
Right. And I'm sure that would have helped. Right. So then, like, I signed the thing, and, you know, he's like, you know, with my experience with this, and he's like, and I haven't done a lot of them, if something's wrong, I will know right after 4:30.
It'll kick back.
He goes, but, you know, if something is wrong in the information and it still goes through, your money might go somewhere else. Like, you can't, international wire transfer.
Excellent.
Right.
Excellent.
So he's, you know, so like before I sign, whatever. And so anyhow, I was in there for a while, and I left and got it done. And then he called it was gone the next morning. Like, so Friday morning, it was taken from.
Wow, which is unusual. Account. That's quick.
No, that's how it worked the first time. And then,
for international even?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was taken from my account.
Oh, taken.
I think it got to them at least in a day or two. I mean, so it was taken on Friday, so it probably got there Monday or Tuesday. And, you know, I had to email our contact and say, like, here's what's going on, you know, and they were very nice about it. But
I swear I'm good for it. It's a bank problem. Like, you feel like such an idiot.
So then I'm still irritated with how I was treated. Not just when I was at the bank, but like how I was handled on the phone. And like, I've been with this bank since we opened, and we're a small business, yeah, but we filter a chunk of money through the bank. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, so what do I do? Like, I had to do something, right? Because if I don't do something, then nothing ever gets done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's very uncomfortable, but I sat down and said, you know, here's my experience with you. And I find it really unacceptable. I felt like I was overlooked because I was a woman, and to be overlooked because I'm a woman by a woman makes it that much worse.
Did you have the conversation with the woman or with the man?
No, I sent this to the woman. I didn't call her because she's
email.
She wasn't going to take my call anyhow. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was very professional about it, but like it, and it just reminded me, and this sounds so silly, but this is like how things have to change. Like, it reminded me of when I stopped watching the Browns and threw out all my Brown stuff because of them hiring somebody who was being sued by 24 women, mm-hmm, for being grossly mistreated. Mm-hmm. So like, mm-hmm, it's these, there's those opportunities to stand up for something. Mm-hmm. And it's never, I shouldn't say it's never, but it's not always like with a group or it's going to make an immediate change. But like, it's, mm-hmm, that stuff that like, if you don't take the little steps, like, mm-hmm, you know, maybe this person will treat somebody differently next time, you, mm-hmm, know, maybe, I don't know, but like, and then I'm like, now they're probably calling me a Karen at the bank. Uh-huh. And, you know,
has there been any reply, any response?
Nope.
And you sent it just to her. You didn't copy in or ask about.
No, but I did get an email either that same day or a few days later. Just an automatic like, Huntington would love your opinion. Will you take a survey on your experience?
Mm.
And so I did, and I was again just very factual. Mm-hmm. I just think it would have been different if it were James.
Mm-hmm. Well, know? I mean, it's. Classy of you to address it with her, not say, you know, send it over her head or something.
Right.
And
you wouldn't know who
even
that
though
would
that's
be.
Right. Even though that's a different kind of business, you know, I know you appreciate getting feedback even when it's uncomfortable from your clients, right?
Right.
Even if they're pissed, and even if you disagree, and even if you stand up for yourself or your business or your employee or contractor. So that's good. I mean, that was a positive step to take. It's not like you went and tried to ruin her day at all, other than to just let her know.
Right. And I didn't mention her name in the survey. I just talked generally. And granted, like, this was probably 2 weeks later, and my emotions were
calmer.
My stress level wasn't as high.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I, you know, we blame COVID and I guess not so much COVID, but the way businesses and employment and supply and everything changed partly because of COVID has really changed things out there. I had to get a tire last week. And I think I told you, like, I used to drive up and they'd be like, Dirty Twirty's here with Red Snapper. And Greg used to, this guy at the service department used to hook me up with the best loaner and everything, because we bought a lot of cars over the years from the same place. This time there were like lethargic, disinterested young a-holes behind the desk. Two females and only one male in this service department on the day when I went, but it took all three of them cooperating not very nicely with each other. Like, why is the computer saying this? And then somebody rolls her chair over to look at it. And like, I'm standing right here. You know, can you,
right.
Has anybody ever spoken to you people about customer service or courtesy, politeness, anything? And I hear just in conversation with people, everything from restaurants to, I mean, it's just a different world. And
well, everything is a process, which I understand, especially having two locations in a business and mm-hmm. hoping to have a third. Like, you have to have repeatable processes. Mm-hmm. But I think that's gotten to a level that's kind of crazy. In mm-hmm. a lot, and this is exactly like they were doing a process. They weren't helping right. a person. They were processing a tire,
to do, yes.
right? Mm-hmm. And the computer wasn't working, and you know, or wasn't working correctly, or somebody didn't know how to use something. So, like, what kind of talent? Like, there's less personal recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the delivery of the. So what happened is at this time of year in Ohio, it's 14 degrees one day, and 3 days later, it might be 60. So your air pressure, your tire pressure light right. may come on, and it may mean nothing.
Right.
So like any good person with a 10-year-old car, I just hit the reset button and ignore for a while longer. Well, it came on again. So my car is old enough that it doesn't tell you which tire. So I, you know, a year ago had a bad flat on the West Virginia Turnpike. And that's the tire that was replaced and the rim had been bent and everything. So I'm like, I'm going to go with that one, put a little air in it, reset the tire light. Next day it comes on again. So I'm like, okay, there's a problem with this tire. And upon inspection, I could see a bubble in it, visible bubble.
It was that tire.
Yeah, it was that tire. So yeah, so there's that too. I mean, who knows about the job of putting the tire back on last year, the new tire. But anyway, I drove straight to the dealership because, you know, I didn't go on the highway. I felt pretty safe. And they do have a policy of you don't need an appointment for some of those kind of things. So I rolled Red Snapper in there and I told him what happened. And without raising her eyes to mine, she said, well, I'm just letting you know, it's like 3 hours before we can even look at it. Okay. So, do you need, you know, we can get you an Uber or whatever. And okay. So that's how it happened. I got an Uber. It just was just really, again, like nobody, and I'm fabulous. I am fabulous to work with in these situations. Mm-hmm. Like there was one of those, carts where a person can't put weight on one leg. So they have like a knee cart.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, whose is that? Mine. Okay. Like I was ready to make some conversation and hope you're doing well, but you, okay.
Yeah.
And you know, then the three of them kind of fought over. And I also said, so last year when this was replaced, now it occurs to me, I drove a greater amount than you're supposed to on a spare to get home. I'm thinking nobody's ever mentioned to me, but I probably need to replace this spare as well, don't I? And they're like, well, yeah. Okay. So can you go ahead and quote that for me as well? Also, they never have my tires in stock, so, which is I anticipated. So there was an extra day or two. I don't know. It's just there is a, I hate to acknowledge it, but there is a, you know, we're having a film or a screen between our social interactions now.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases.
Well, you see this with healthcare. I think they're probably the biggest offenders. Like, you know, if somebody mm-hmm. comes in and they're feeling this way, then this, and this. And somebody told me, one of our clients was telling me about a visit to the doctor, and it was about X. I don't even think she told me. And then she was like, while I was there, I asked about Y, and the doctor looked at her and said, no, this appointment's about X. If you want to talk about Y, you have to make another appointment. Because... Jeez. Yeah, because I think doctors are on a 7-minute appointment schedule now,
yeah,
and they're incentivized
and the
by
process,
efficiency.
Like you said, the process. This form, this computer form today has allowed for this to be filled in.
Right, and guess what? If something's missing, it's your fault. Mm-hmm. You go to the doctor, the car dealership, the whatever, because they're the ones who are experts at the car, but you're the one who was like, Hey,
did I get a new spare? I should probably get another spare because if this happens again on my weird, I have a low profile car. You do too. We've talked about this with special tires. So this could happen again. And now I've got an old crappy spare. And then there's some, I haven't, you know, my trunk is a mess, of course. There's some piece. I don't know if it belongs as part of my setup and needs to go back in, or did they leave a freaking crowbar like extra, because they've done that before too. I've got a lot of equipment that they've just left in or on the car. So I don't know. We do sound like old Karens.
I got my oil changed a couple of weeks ago and I still go to the dealer. Actually, it's my first oil change outside of the warranty, but like Mini Coopers are so specific that like I have to get an, I'm sure this isn't unusual anymore, but I have to get an oil change once a year.
Princess. Opel is just a princess.
I know. Once a year or every 15,000 miles. And so, and it's like $150. So it's not like, you know, it's some $500 oil change or anything. So, you know, I called and made an appointment and it takes, they give themselves 90 minutes and it literally didn't even take that long. So I got lucky. But I was walking around outside looking at the new Minis and thinking about like, well, I always love to look at new Minis, you know, but I was looking at the antennas and I've always wondered in my little compartment in the back, what this one like stick thing was. I'm like, oh, I don't have my full antenna on. You could screw it in. They probably screwed it off to like wash the car. I don't know why they would do it, but
oh my gosh. Right. Like,
right. But it's whatever. It was just kind of funny. Speaking of cars, while I was there, I started considering, maybe not started, making a change from the Mini Cooper. For a couple of reasons. One, I'm getting to a point in mileage where I'm going to need some pretty expensive maintenance done, which is, I expect, like, this is my fourth one. They're not cheap to maintain. The other, I don't think any car is really, but the other problem is that, it's, you know, the dealership's in Willoughby and maybe there's a garage or a repair shop that can do Mini Cooper maintenance, but, like, it's just not convenient. And so I always put it off until, like, I'm afraid that the car is going to explode. You know what I mean? And not that it's ever, especially
dire.
Not that it's ever driven badly, but, like, there's enough technology in there where it's like the lights will go off or there'll be a message saying it's time to get your oil changed. Like, that's what made me crazy.
Those are relentless now. Jeff has a newer vehicle too. And it's like, I will not be ignored, Dan.
Right. Yeah. And so, and then I thought about, or this popped into my head probably in the middle of the night, like last night, I was like, I have to give my dogs a bath. So I gave him a bath as soon as I woke up this morning. I don't know why that popped in my head. But anyhow, I just remembered
it's funny, the things that do pop up and then you need to address them first thing.
Yeah. There was a yoga teacher that I really liked. And I remember one day she had like long, really pretty hair. And one day it was not long anymore. It was probably the length of my hair right now. And she was talking about how she just had this moment where she realized how much she identified with her hair. And she just wanted to not have that, like, she'd want to be defined by her hair. And as silly as that sounds, like, so she chopped it. And I was like, that's me in my car. Like, I've been driving Mini Coopers for 14 years. And like, what would it make me feel like if someone was like, if I had to say I drove something else, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, it's so silly, but it's making my heart pound a little bit right now.
Yeah. Oh, no, I get it. I've always driven Volkswagen. I had a Subaru once, maybe 25, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one Mazda thrown in there. But since like high school, I've always driven Volkswagens.
And so then that'll take me somewhere else. But I started thinking about, like, well, what is it about this car that I love? And I do love how fast it is and how quick it is and how, like, drive like an idiot and like how tight it turns and
we love to drive,
how fun it is. And that's the other thing. Like, do I love to drive? I don't know. Cause I hate driving long distances. I think this car is so fun that it makes driving the same freaking routes that we go in our life every day a little bit more interesting. Mm-hmm. But like, have I taken that too far? And am I thinking about it too much? And then I was like, oh,
let's just watch her spin.
Right.
International podcast audience. Let's watch her spin.
I like things that I feel are unique. And like right now, I think if I made a change, I would want to go to a hybrid. I don't think I'd want to go to an EV just because of, I just don't think
they're still working some of the kinks out.
They're still working some of the kinks out. But like some of these cars that get 50 to 60 miles per gallon and they have some sort of short EV range are like better for the environment. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I also read that like what it takes to actually manufacture them is not great for the environment. But I mean, you're going to have that anyhow, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, how cool would that be to be able to plug your car in the garage and just, and there are some of them, like the Prius, are far less maintenance. Toyota's, like, you don't have to do anything to Toyota's. I mean, not literally, but, you know, and so that might be smart and fun in a different way, in a different experience. Mm-hmm. And then if I hate it, I can always go back and get another Mini. Mini has an EV. And as far as EVs go, it's an inexpensive EV, which is like 35 grand, but it only gets like 90 miles. It has a 90 mile range. The other thing about EVs that I learned is that, and I kind of knew this, but I didn't think about it so much, like they're fast. They're especially like 0 to whatever. it's where they're slow is on the freeway. Like you don't get that surge to
the pickup. Right. Yeah. That I was just going to say, yeah.
And that might make me a little nutty, but, but then it's like, yes, I'm spiraling out of control. So, I mean, that's the way everything is going. And with gas prices being so crazy, you know, I was thinking about it. It's like, so there's this one car that I was looking at that gets 55 miles a gallon and it has a 70 mile EV range. And I'm like, well, that's anywhere I go on a daily basis. I'm not driving
within 70 miles. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I'm filling up my tank at least once a week. So that's at least $40 a week. Right. So like they say it costs about a quarter of the electricity than it does in gas. And it's just like, well, this is dumb. Like,
I mean, yeah, it's certainly a worthy exploration. Cause like you say, nothing has to be forever. If you decide you want to go back to a Mini someday,
it's a freaking car.
Right.
Yeah. So that's where it ended. I never really did anything with that. And as far as I know, I'm going to have a engine flush this summer and, you know, whatever.
Engine flush. That sounds.
Right. Sexy.
Sexy. Flush my engine. Having nothing to do with anything. So apropos of nothing we're talking about, since we've last spoken, there's been so much going on musically. We talked about Toby Keith. But I want to know if you saw the Grammys. I want to know if you listened to Billy Joel's new music. I want to tell the world that I'm listening to Bruce Springsteen's memoir, which is read by him. And I'm Springsteen neutral. Never been like a, oh my gosh, got to see him fan. But like a lot of his stuff, it is spectacular. And I'm loving it. I'm probably only halfway through it. So good. Do it, do it, do it.
Yeah, I didn't see the Grammys. I saw some clips of things on the internet. What was the other question?
Oh, Billy Joel. Well, at the Grammys, Billy Joel, new music after, you know, 3 decades or whatever. And then also, have you watched the Netflix documentary, The Greatest Night in Pop, about the recording of We Are the World back in the day?
No.
We watched that last weekend. So good. If you have any 80s music love in you, my gosh, it was so wonderful to see again. And of course it left cynic husband Jeff Twerty saying, who nowadays would be able to do this? All of these, there's 35 or whatever, these awesome artists in the room. And it was really worth watching. So if you have Netflix, I think that's what it was on. The Greatest Night in Pop.
Was that put together quickly?
The We Are the World thing was put together quickly. Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson wrote the song thinking they had time. So they were playing around with it. And then who's the big, you know, Clive Davis, I think. Was it Clive Davis or something? No. But anyway.
Quincy Jones?
We can look that up. Was like thinking about this, the absolute only way to get all of these top recording artists together is that the American Music Awards are like in 2 weeks. We got to do it that night after the awards. We'll book a room overnight. We'll book a recording studio overnight. And that's what they did. So then Lionel Richie was like, shit, now we got to get this done. And you have, you know, Bruce Springsteen, Billy Joel, Cyndi Lauper,
Wham, George Michael and the other guy.
Who am I thinking of? Stevie Wonder, Diana Ross.
It was amazing.
The personalities and who was doing solos. And it was just really, really fun to watch.
I have to check that out. Actually, you were saying there's been so much happening with music. I mean, that kind of rolls right into the Super Bowl too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel bad for her. I mean, she's just like dating this guy. She wants to watch him play football.
Yeah. And it continues to be so disheartening, whatever side of anything you're on, that people just have to go attack people online.
Well, why is there a side? She's a singer. Right. Like what?
But people are spending so much time and energy.
Even Donald Trump is like, I'm going to take down Taylor Swift. I know that could go.
Don't even. Hey, Taylor Swift for president at this point.
Right.
She, you know, again, I am going to refer to my husband as a cynic. Never has much nice to say about somebody on first blush, right? He's always looking for the. But you know, even he acknowledges Taylor Swift has never, I don't think, embarrassed herself or gone down any really bad paths or taken anyone else there. I mean, sure, there's some great songs written about bad relationships. We probably all wish we could do that. But she's been around a long time now. And
she's only like, what, 32 or something?
Yeah, she's still. So, yeah, I mean.
Right. Like.
Just, who would want to be famous, right? I mean,
why do we have to like take a side? There's no side to take. Like, you like her music or you don't, or you like some of it, or you like, or you're over the top about it, whatever. Who cares? Like,
whatever. And yeah, and I'm not really, I don't really own much Taylor Swift music. Like, it's not my jam, but my gosh, what a wonderful, like, for younger girls, yeah. And now they're moms together, and like, it's a great thing. Calm down. It's music.
You need to calm down.
You need to calm down.
It's one of her songs.
I know. And yeah. Also not a football fan, but I think we've talked before. That was a good documentary too, Kelsey, about the brothers, actually before Jason, really before the whole modern situation. It was before when they thought he was going to retire before that last Super Bowl, I don't know, 3 years ago or whatever. Not that last
Super Bowl. I'm very out of touch with.
Yeah. So football. I'm not a Taylor Swift fan. I'm not a football fan, but I've enjoyed, maybe I'm just an old person enjoying documentaries is what I'm saying.
Maybe. Are you going to watch the Super Bowl?
No. And in fact, we don't go anywhere. You know, it's tax season and the Super Bowl starts late. So Jeff never wants to. Also, Jeff does not like watching football in groups of people with men. He thinks they're ridiculous. He thinks it's stupid to yell at the TV. He does watch. He loves sports, but he just thinks human beings are ridiculous watching the Super Bowl. So I am on my couch in one room. He's on his in the other. I'm watching something else. He usually will text me and say it's time for the national anthem if I care to see that. He'll text me and say it's time for the halftime show if I care to see that. And other than that, we will probably make some wings at home or something. Hey, tonight I'm making Chinese food at home because it is Lunar, aka Chinese New Year, this weekend. I'm all over the map, and I drink decaf, so I don't know what to tell you. This is me on decaf.
So Reba McEntire is singing the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And as you probably know, Usher is the halftime show.
Right. And even the national anthem I've seen on social media is a fight these days, because there's people saying, stop messing with the national anthem. It's a march. This is what it is. And then other people saying, let artists do what they're going to do. If you want to hear a pre-recorded national anthem, then go listen to that. People, can we all just get along?
What was the tangent that you went off on before I went back to the national anthem?
Chinese New Year.
Oh, Chinese New Year. Yeah.
Have you ever gone for dim sum down to Li Wa in Asia Town in Cleveland?
No.
Because it's awesome. The reason I'm saying that is sometimes we go out for Chinese New Year. We'd hope to go to Li Wa, but it's so booked. You can't get a reservation, and they do a whole Chinese New Year thing. But anyway, on any day of the year, the dim sum situation is awesome down there.
I want to see if I've been. Yeah, we've been to Li Wa. We haven't been. Well, so we open our own business, so we don't get out much. But
we haven't been anywhere in 7 years now.
Well, almost eight.
Close to eight. Yeah.
Number one. Fa, that's usually our go-to down there. But it just reminds me, is I bought for Christmas, I got James, Ashley, Alina, and my mom. Well, I gave it to my mom for her birthday. Ancestry.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Kits. So James still hasn't sent his in, but I have mine. Mine's all processed and stuff like that. So in case you're wondering, I'll read you my DNA results.
You're not as Asian as James?
I'm not. I am 89% Eastern Europe and Russia, specifically Southern Poland and Eastern Slovakia, specifically Eastern Slovakia, which is not, like, none of this is surprising. 8% mm-hmm. Baltics.
That's good. We don't want to be surprised.
Right? 2% England and Northwestern Europe, and 1% Sweden and Denmark. And then it's really cool. They have, like, these traits that you can, like, playing music is good for your brain. Joyce, your DNA suggests you don't play a musical instrument. everything from
something.
Hair type, wisdom teeth, alcohol, asparagus odor, birth weight, like all these traits that are like, you know, here's one, eye color. Joyce, your DNA suggests you have light eyes. I have light eyes. Most of it's like, mm-hmm. most of it's very spot on. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's some like more medical things like heart rate recovery and oxygen use and tolerating dairy and, you know, all these other things. So it's been pretty interesting. Ashley and Alina sent theirs in. I don't know that Ashley has hers back yet, but Alina's came back the other day. And her ethnicity is all over the place. Like, mm-hmm, I mean, she's mm-hmm. black, white, and Asian. So she's got lots of different things, but, yeah, I'm waiting for
what
James.
A beautiful, beautiful combo. That's like kind of Tiger Woods. Isn't there some black, white, and Asian there too? And
yeah,
he's such an attractive, and his kids too, just
Japanese,
beautiful.
Yeah.
There are people, I mean, not talking about generations removed, but the immediate generation, there are people who may wonder. You cannot be one of them. You cannot be separated from looking like your mother or your father.
Oh.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well, yeah, because I look like both of them.
You do. I think
they
there's
look like
no
each
way.
Other.
Yeah.
A few months ago, I went to Baby Bop for lunch with my mom, and the young lady behind the counter making the food just stared at us. She goes, "You look so much like your mom." I'm like, "I know. I see it every day when I look in the mirror."
Yeah.
It was funny because my dad's side always said I look like him, and then my mom said I always said I look like her, but. And I was like, nobody can make up their mind. It doesn't matter. You know, they're my parents.
And there's different things. Like you probably have somebody's feet and somebody's face and somebody's stature. And it's different. But
years and years ago, when I was married the first time, my dad's aunt was, who I had never met before. Probably like most of our families, the older generations had more kids. So. Mm-hmm. She was giving away, selling.
Not really.
Less birth
maybe,
control. I don't
nothing
know.
Else to do.
Giving away a kitchen table, and like we needed one. So, and we were, I don't know, young. And so I went and mm-hmm. got it over, I think in like Mayfield Heights or something. And I had never met her before, at least not that I could remember. As I've mentioned before, my dad was one of six boys. And she said, which one of the boys, you know, is your dad? Mm-hmm. And I was like, Andy. And she goes, oh, you really look like your Uncle Mickey then. Well, that's my dad.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, it's my dad because my grandma changed his name. I think
him.
We talked about this. My grandma changed his name from Michael Andrew to Andrew Michael and back and forth probably more than once. And they called him Mickey because they thought it was Michael Andrew until he went to high mm-hmm. school and he had to show a birth certificate. And he found out when he went to high school that his name is Andrew Michael. So a lot of his elders still called him Mick. Anybody who knew him before high school called him Mickey. And then people who didn't know him or before high school called him Andy, which I think is just weird.
It's funny. Jeff's dad too, named Michael, was Mickey. And Jeff is Michael Jeffrey.
But
and when I said you probably have somebody's feet,
yeah,
I meant Barney Rubble. That's whose feet you have.
Oh, do I?
You have Barney Rubble's feet, yes.
What?
No, I meant your mom or dad, but now that I think about it, yes, because they're like cute little cartoon. They're little, they're wide. They're like,
thanks.
Funky. You know, those, the funky Flintstones, feet. We got to see all their feet. They didn't wear shoes, right? They had to run the car somehow. So you have Barney Rubble feet.
But I think I mentioned this before too. My mom's parents, my mom's mom specifically changed her name too. She was Sharon. Huh. And they changed it to Judith, like within a very,
interesting.
Like she wasn't even a month old. Like it, I'm almost positive, or maybe not. I think
does it, that makes you wonder, like there's an image in your head. Imagine if your mom was named Sharon,
right?
What would be any different? Nothing.
Nothing.
A lot
her
of
name
things.
Would be Sharon. Like, right.
Like what if my name was, I mean, I don't
Sharon.
Know. What else could your name be? Like it would feel so, like, could I be a Jennifer?
You could, but you probably wouldn't say it like Jennifer.
Jennifer.
You, and then if your name was Jennifer, you'd be like, what if I was named Mary Beth?
Yeah. Mary Beth.
What are you going to call me?
Mary Beth. Yeah. Right. I was thinking that the other day. I was never called MB till my Uncle Jack coined MB, and then it stuck.
My Uncle John used to call me Annabelle because my middle name is Anne. I just thought,
and I love nicknames.
I do.
Some people hate nicknames. I love them.
I don't know why it didn't, like, that didn't stick. You know, I could have been.
Well, it's one special thing from Uncle John.
Nobody's called Annabelle anymore.
No, isn't there a scary doll movie called Annabelle?
I don't know.
There is. Annabelle. Yeah, scary doll movie.
So we're really
nothing but serious stuff here from us.
We're really looking forward to this trip to Costa Rica.
So that's in May, correct, Amundo?
Yep. May 8th to 14th. And we still have room, although we're running out, but we still have room, and we can make almost everything work.
So you could, you know, share beds with people. Somebody asked me at book club how many people you have, or if there's. And I said, you know, I haven't had a conversation with Joyce about it, so I don't know how many are going.
We have the whole retreat center. Nobody else will be there when we're there, so I think we can fit up.
That's good.
Or like we can have up to something like 30 people.
And how many do you have kind of signed up?
I think we're around 20 right now.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a great time. I mean, everybody's looking forward to going, obviously, and we haven't gone since we were in Antigua in 2019. And it's going to be a good one. I hope that whoever out there is thinking about going decides to go. It's going to.
Yeah, a lot of people have asked me about it at the end of classes and stuff. I won't be going because of the dates, but I mean, who doesn't want to go to Costa Rica?
Right. When in this
with yoga people
won't be our last. You know, like we'll
sure, yeah, yeah.
We'll do more retreats, and now that we're back on it, and it should be a really good time. We've done, you know, a lot of prep, a lot of planning already, and it just, like, things are just falling into place nicely, and I just don't want to jinx that.
Since it's been so long, it'll probably feel really good and welcome to just relax into it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for James and I, it's honestly a lot of work, but it's, you know, I'm not going to complain about having to run some.
Yeah. When you're there, trying
in Costa Rica,
relax. Yeah. We may be the last people in America. That's probably overstating it, to have finally just this week cut the cord. No more cable TV.
Oh,
no more real telephone. It happened. I did it.
You had a landline still?
My mom did next door. We did not.
Oh.
But we did it. And now I'm not complaining, but I'm so confused because now you have all the streaming services, and like the fast forward works different on all of them, and the auto next episode works different on all of them. But it's nothing to complain about. When your cable bill is $350.
Jesus.
Yeah. Don't blame Jesus.
But
it was. And the reason we kept it so long is I worked for Cox Cable for many years. So I was just loyal and loved it, and it was comfortable and I understood it. And two, the internet has never let us down. Jeff works from home, and so many people complain about their other internet. So we do still have Cox internet.
We have
under $80 a month. So the rest is streaming, which is fine. I'm starting to watch new things. I'm starting to miss old things that I like. Live TV is harder to find. We have YouTube TV. Yeah. It's just a learning curve.
Everything's changed. Yeah. I think I might have told you I don't even really know how to use our TV. Mm-hmm. Every time I try to watch something, I have to relearn. I mean, I know how to connect my iPad, and that's usually where I'll run. But I clearly do not watch a lot of anything, and that's not new for me. Like, that's just kind of been all my life. I've never had a show like I've had to see, or you know, I've enjoyed movies and stuff here and there. But like, I've been, you know, we binge watched things during the pandemic and everything. But like usually if I'm in front of the TV, I also have my laptop, or like I must have ADHD. I don't know, but like,
a binge that I did recently is Fool Me Once. That wasn't long and it was pretty good. Maybe. And I, unlike you, have been my entire life what my dad called a TV commando.
Oh,
there's just been a lot of TV in my life.
TV commando?
That's my like only real escapism. Like I can really go, even reading doesn't do escapism for me like TV, watching TV.
I just had I was just inspired. Whoa. Maybe I'll call you
Angel Singing?
Commando Snorlax.
Commando Snorlax. So Snorlax was one of the, what were those things called?
I don't know.
Oh, you had never heard of Snorlax? The things that kids used to Pokemon.
Oh.
When my nephews were young and they did Pokemon, my very, very aptly, my very young, like toddler age nephew at the time said, "You can be Snorlax." And I was like, "Well, I don't even need to know anything about Snorlax to hear the words snore and lax and know that it is about me." But we were talking about yet another yoga teacher changing their name to something, I don't know, inspirational, fancy, Sanskrit, whatever all the choices are. And so if I'm going to have a yoga name, it will have to be Snorlax. We'll see if we can translate that into Sanskrit.
Snorlax is a huge dark blue green mammalian Pokemon with a cream colored face, belly, and feet. And it's,
there you go. Body, I'm mammalian and I'm huge.
Mostly of its belly, and its limbs are comparatively small. Its head is large with small pointed ears and two pointed teeth protruding from its lower jaw. Snorlax is docile enough to let children and small Pokemon bounce on its large stomach. Despite its apparent laziness, however, Snorlax can exhibit tremendous power when prompted.
Oh my gosh, I am Snorlax. I'm docile.
He's known to appear without, I shouldn't say he, because I don't, it could be a she, but known to appear without warning in villages and steal their food supplies, such as rice granaries, which has been long considered a disaster whenever it happens.
I guess I can appear and steal food. I did it last night at book club.
There you go. So, Gigantamax Snorlax almost never moves. Even when in battle, it only slightly lifts its body and attacks by flailing with its arms and legs.
I should have looked into this more deeply earlier, because 100% Snorlax.
It's the sleeping Pokemon.
The sleeping Pokemon, right.
It eats over 800 pounds of food every day. And as it begins to eat, too. It falls asleep and sleeps while it eats.
Oh my gosh. It sleeps while it eats.
Its stomach digestive juices can dissolve any kind of poison. Eating off the ground doesn't bother it at all.
5-second rule.
I think you might have to.
Hey, I don't clean my mushroom.
So Zoom is now yelling at us because apparently I need to clear some space to put more Zoom on my computer. So we're going to have to wrap this up.
We got cut off when you said I ate things off the ground, and I said I don't even clean my mushrooms. So,
we'll leave our international podcast audience with that.
All right, we're done.